We're hoping to find some, get some funds from the Humanities Foundation of West Virginia to publish this booklet that we want to do. So that's what we're kind of working on right now, is to write a proposal for them. And I've been meeting with the guild members about, once every 2 weeks. But let me start by putting on this tape that I'm at the Elkins Manor, at the home of Bernice Kaufman, and that's C-O-F-F-M-A-N.
That's right.
And Bernice has been a weaver and was a member of the Weavers Guild.
Yes.
And today's date is March 10th, 1992. So I'd like to start by asking Bernice a few questions. Maybe we can, if we could start with getting a little history about yourself. Can you tell me who your parents were, Bernice?
Yes. I'm from Ohio originally, and I learned to weave. My grandmother had a big loom, so I wove from the time I was a child, wound shuttles or something for her, so I was always interested. And then my cousin inherited the big old loom, and I used to go and stay with her and and weave. I cleaned her house, and then I could weave.
And that was your cousin?
That was my cousin.
Now,
but she inherited my grandmother's loom.
And what was your grandmother's name?
Susan Hewitt.
Owl.
Hewitt? Our last name was Owl, O-H-L.
O-H-L.
It's uncommon around here, but
And she was from
Pennsylvania
Ohio?
Dutch, yes.
Okay. And then your cousin inherited that loom?
Yes, she and her husband went to stay with my grandmother on the farm and look after her, and so of course the things that were in the house, well, it just became hers.
Well, let me make sure I have your grandmother's name. It was Susan Hewitt Hall.
Susan H-E-W-I-T-T Hewitt Hall, O-H-L. There's one person around here, that only one that I know with that name. And that he's at college down here, Salem College. And they all came from Pennsylvania, really, you know.
Do you know where?
Settled over there. Around Harrisburg, and see, when they emigrated from Europe, they came over in the early 70s, at 1770s, because William Penn got this land, you know, and he wanted to settle it, and they all had to have a craft. He wouldn't bring anyone over here if he wasn't a craftsman. So he brought Baron Stiegel, was an iron worker, but later went to glass. And my parents were all woodworkers. Carvers, and my dad did a lot of carving.
Is that right? Do you still have any of his work?
I don't have that.
This man you mentioned, Baron Stiegel?
Yeah, Baron Stiegel, he's the one that made the famous glass.
Oh, I see.
He was an iron worker. And then he just changed to glass, you know. It's some of the outstanding glass work in our country.
And he was an ancestor of yours?
I didn't understand.
Was he an ancestor of yours?
No, my folks came with that group.
I see.
Mine were old, and they were woodworkers. And of course, the women all wove. You know, in those days, you had to make your own cloth and sew your own clothes.
I see. So your grandmother, Susan Hewitt, was from Pennsylvania or Ohio?
Well, they came to Ohio. See, they all fought in the Revolution, and Pennsylvania wanted to protect Fort Pitt. So if you were a soldier in the Revolution, you had a chance. You could give $100, or you could take a section in the Ohio country. Mm-hmm. So my grandfather, great-grandfather and all, they took the Ohio country. So they were in Ohio before it was Ohio. Mm-hmm. And I have a picture of them here. I'll show you.
Watch the cords there.
I'll watch them. I broke my hip. That's why I had to give up weaving. Mm. This was my father when he was 3 months old.
Oh, wow.
And this was his mother, her father, and his father. These two fought in the Revolution.
I see.
And the reason her husband wasn't there, he was driving cattle to Pittsburgh. Hmm. And the photographers used to come around maybe once a year. So they had their picture taken, and she substituted for her husband.
Mm-hmm.
And I married a West Virginian, and that's why I'm in West Virginia.
Uh-huh. Now,
now they were Mennonites.
Uh-huh.
Or they belonged to the old order of of Dunkards. That's why they wear their beard the way they do. See, they shave their face just down to the jawline. And they were in their 90s.
This was your grandfather here?
No, well, he would have been way back. He's the one that came from Europe.
He's your father's
This
grandfather.
Is my father, 3 months old, and his mother. But his father was driving cattle when they came.
I see.
So she substitutes. So the before generation.
I see.
This is her father, and this is his father. And they both took land in Ohio, and the one son that was killed, his wife took $100. Well, $100 then, she bought a place for it.
Mm-hmm. So that's your great-great-grandfather, I would imagine.
Yeah. See, this, she would be my grandmother, and he would be my great-grandfather, and he'd be my great-great-grandfather.
Right. Okay. That's nice. Nice you have that. Now, whereabouts in Ohio?
Around Akron and Youngstown. Mm-hmm. That was the area. Mm-hmm. And there's a place over there called Old Town.
Uh-huh.
And the Mill Creek Park in Youngstown was the mill that they bought. It's OHL Mill, but they call it Old Mill now, you know.
Mm-hmm. It. I see. And do you mind telling me your birth date?
My birthday?
Date.
Yeah, I'm born January 8th, 1912.
Uh-huh.
I'm
80. Great. Great.
And I still paint, you see, got closets full of paint. I used to make quilts, then I got something wrong with my finger, couldn't wear a thimble. Then I made, and I always did weaving, and my father had this little, made me this little loom, portable.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been all over, I was to Buffalo, New York, and I've been all over the Ohio Valley and Washington, D.C. with my little loom, take it in the bus or...
Uh-huh. And then how did you learn to weave originally?
Well, I learned there with my cousin. And then when I went to school, well, went to Akron University, where they had a weaving class, and I took art. I was an art teacher, so I took art, and I had a class. And then I had a friend that both liked to weave, and so we went and bought an old loom. My father was to go and pick it up for us, and we were going to put it in the garage, and he wouldn't bring it on the place. It had termites in it. So he, and we were so disappointed, and I was teaching in Youngstown then, and when I came home at Christmas, my mother said, I was still mad at him because he wouldn't, and my mother said, you better go down and see what your dad's making down. He had a workshop in the basement. Well, I just stalled off. It didn't make much difference to me what he was making. And finally she said, "You better go down." And went down, and here he had this little loom, four harness foot pedal loom. And when I moved over here at the apartment, I really didn't have room for it. Mm-hmm. And so I sold it to a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. But I wove thousands of yards on that. I've got a record of how many yards I wove.
What was your cousin's name who you learned to?
My husband?
Your cousin who you learned to weave with?
Her name was Mary Handwork. She was an Owl.
Mary
Owl Handwork, H-A-N-D-W-R, Hunshuffle was her name, but they changed it to English.
Handwork. That's an appropriate name, huh?
Well, yes, it was. But see, like Kaufman was changed by the governor of Virginia, one of the early governors. They had these settlers coming down from Pennsylvania, settling the Shenandoah Valley. And the Kaufmans came over. The Kaufman in Pittsburgh is related to them. But you see, they spell it K-A-U-F-F-M-A-M-N, you know. And so the governor changed all of these German names into English. Mm-hmm. So he made their name C-O-F-F.
Mm-hmm. Okay, how about your parents' names?
My father was John Wesley Owl. And he was a cabinet maker and a wood carver. And my mother was Mary Ellen Ulam, U-L-M, from Ulam, Germany. Now her people were potters, all of my uncles and my aunt, because we had a lot of potteries around Akron before the rubber companies. Uh-huh. And my aunt painted china, and I had an uncle that was a kill setter and took care of that, but he was also made pottery.
Mm-hmm. So most all of your people were then German of?
Yeah, they were. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The Olds came from Switzerland originally. Uh-huh. But you see, when they had the Inquisition, they took up the Mennonites, which are the same as the Quakers in English. Mm-hmm. And so they just drove them out.
Right.
And they went along the Rhine Valley, and nobody wanted them. They went on and on until they got down to Holland. But they didn't like their children speaking Holland Dutch. So they finally went over to England, and the one man was sort of the leader of them, and they went to Crow, England. That was a place. So they pooled their money and tried to get a boat, and finally the only thing he'd get was an old boat that was really seaworthy, and he got prisoners and promised them their freedom. Help them over there. And so they came over.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. You know, you've followed all that up about mm-hmm. your family history. My mother's parents were also, my mother's side of the family were Pennsylvania Mennonites too, so I said.
They were. Did you ever learn to speak Dutch?
No, my grandmother spoke some, but I couldn't. Do you?
Well, my father and mother
Sprechen Sie both, Deutsch?
When they didn't want my sister and I to know what they were talking about.
I see.
So one time my mother went to Youngstown and bought us some things for Christmas, and she was telling my father in Dutch what she bought and where she put it. So I just ran over. It was a kleine schank, which is a little cupboard, and I went over and pulled it out. And then they questioned me, and I knew everything that they'd been saying. But my sister, every time they'd start speaking Dutch or try to get us to, she'd cry. She wasn't going to do it. Huh. But now my cousins, that was the one I'm talking about, the head of Luminol, she and her husband both spoke German. Uh-huh. I know the words, but I just, you'd have to have somebody to conversation to.
Yeah.
I must tell you an interesting thing about that. When I was teaching in Broadway High School, one of the boys in my class got into a cussing match with the principal. He was cussing too. So they came to my room and carrying on, pounding on the desk and everything. And finally the bell rang and the principal just walked out. Well, Davy was still pounding. So I'd been trained that when you have trouble, get there fast. Sometimes your fastness and how close you get to them, they'll pull back. You're one egg little there. And I said, all right, take your seat. And he started to cuss me. And so I said, oh, do kleine hussa? Do funny kooka? Grosse hona, big chicken. And I was telling this, well, of course the kids, there were a few of them, knew Dutch in the class, and they were just as quiet and listening to every word. And finally, they just broke out in laughter. And David took his seat. I never had another time that I had any trouble with that class. Because one of the girls said to me, she said, how mad do you have to get to cussing Dutch? And I said, don't try me. Well, I wasn't cussing. I know the words, but I didn't use them. But I called them pancake and little pants and big chicken.
Is there any music in your family?
Any who?
Any music or singing?
Well, my father played the violin, and I was quite a musician in my early days.
On what?
On the piano. I was a concert pianist.
Oh, great. And what kind of music did your father play?
Well,
Fiddle music?
Or? Yeah, no, he played high-class music, because when he was in training, you know, they used to have to go so many years. He was sent to Cincinnati, worked in the Erie car shops, and he boarded with a man, and the whole family were musicians. Mm-hmm. So he taught my dad, and he had a nice violin, mm-hmm. and he played, sometimes he'd play the bass viol.
Great. All right, let me see what I can do here. Now, anybody else in your family who did any weaving or textile work or anything?
No, just my cousin had the old loom. Mm-hmm. And, she'd make carpets and pillows out of rags. Mm-hmm. And she sold them, of course. Mm-hmm. And that's where I learned to weave. Her loom was in an upstairs bedroom, and they take up a whole room. Well, when she wanted to thread it, she was heavy and couldn't get back there. So you see, I go back and skinny, and I could get in, and I'd hand the threads. And she'd say, Hina, Funa, that's Frank, back, with just two... two parts to the loom, where now mine was a four harness. But the old loom had the other, but see, she didn't learn to do that. Well, when I started to weave, I was going to the university. I took a class in weaving, and then finally, after my husband and I were married, we lived by some Swedish people. And Mrs. Eden wanted to go back to Sweden. They'd left 50 years. He wouldn't go back. So one evening out on the porch, she said, why don't you go with us? Her daughter wanted to go, but she was a lot younger than I and didn't want to make the trip. She never traveled any. And so I said, oh, no, I'm going to summer school. And she said, come on and go with us. And they said to my husband, but can't she go? Well, it's up to her. I don't care. So they took it that he said I could go. So I went to Sweden and I studied. We were over there 6 weeks. Hmm. And I didn't know their language. and they were there visiting, and I didn't want to take up all this time because they tried to translate, you know, think I was talking, they were talking about me. And so I said to the son there, I said, isn't there a place around here where I could go and do some weaving? And they have home, what you call an industry. Uh-huh. The government supports it. And so, yes, it's just a few blocks. So I didn't have to get on a bus or anything. I could walk. And I'd go down early in the morning, take my lunch, and stay 3 or 4 o'clock. Hmm. So that's where I learned to weave. Just I do that. And then I brought some of the things back that I had made and done at the university, and I got credit for it. I would, didn't know that I was going to, but they gave me credit for it.
Uh-huh. And when did you come to West Virginia?
Well, I married a West Virginian. Mm-hmm. He lived out here on Stoneker Run. And after we were married, why, because he'd always come back to see his parents. And I enjoyed coming down here, and the scenery is just out of this world. Now, Ohio's rolling.
Yeah.
But we don't have these mountains. Mm-hmm. And so when we'd come, I'd bring my sketch pad and make drawings all around. So I always loved it here. And we intended to come back here after he retired, but then he developed a heart condition and we were never able to come. But he'd say to me, now, you do what we were planning to do. So we planned we're coming here, and that's what I did. Hmm.
And did Willetta tell me that you're a cousin? Is that through your husband?
I didn't understand.
Did Willetta tell me that you're a cousin to that family?
Well, you're his family.
His family, huh? The Kaufman.
Uh-huh, the Coffins. She's, her mother was a Stoneker, and my husband's mother was a Stoneker.
And I see. And there was some weaving in that
family. And they
family.
Lived side by their farms adjoined.
I see.
And I've known Willetta when...
And there was weaving in that family, I guess.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And I guess my husband's mother had a loom and used to weave. Weave carpet and things, but then they built a new house and they didn't have room, and so I don't know whether they used it for fence post or what, but they didn't save it.
What was your husband's mother's name?
Emma Grace Stoneker. And
Emma Grace?
Emma Grace Stoneker. And my husband was Lee Kaufman. See, their mothers were sisters, mm-hmm. Willetta's and Lee's mother.
Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe we can, when did you get involved with the guild?
In what?
With the guild. The Weavers Guild?
Oh, after I moved over here.
And what year would that be?
I moved over here in 1971. Mm-hmm. See, my husband passed away. He had a very serious heart attack, and he always said, I want you to go over to Elkins. And we planned the house and everything, and I built just what we'd planned. Mm-hmm. But when I broke my hip, I couldn't get anybody to mow for me, or I did that all myself. Mm-hmm. So, I just had to give it up, and that's why I come over here.
Mm-hmm. So you brought your loom with you that your father had made?
No, I just didn't have room. Mm-hmm. See, when I had to give up.
No, I mean when you came to West Virginia.
Oh, yes, so. I had 4 looms. I built on my house over here on Sunset Drive. I changed a patio. I closed it in, and I had my weaving in there. Uh-huh. And my quilt frames. Mm-hmm. But now when I come over here, there just was no room for it. And this friend of mine wanted it badly because I never would allow anyone. My dad made it. Mm-hmm. He built it. And it folded up, so it opened out like a card table. And I made a little bag of canvas to fit over. I took it to New York in the bus. Mm-hmm. to the University of New York at Buffalo, and I had it to Cleveland, and I had it to Washington, D.C., and Marietta, Parkersburg, all around Ripley. I went to Ripley.
Was that the only loom that he made?
No, he made a curly maple one, which is beautiful. And I wove coverlets on it, but it was wide, you see. Uh-huh. But it had the same construction. It didn't have all this heavy work. Uh-huh. I could fold it up, too. Uh-huh. And that made it easier to take it. But I never took it around because the little loom I could lift and put in the trunk of my car. Uh-huh. Just fit it in there.
So these two looms are still together now, these ones your father made?
Yes, this person in up near Marietta bought it. And she's a weaver, too. In fact, that's how we became acquainted. She saw me downtown demonstrated. Mm-hmm. And she was just learning to weave, so I helped her.
Mm-hmm. Then how did... Tell me about the your involvement with the guild. Was there a lot of activity when you got involved?
Well, we had shows down at the Armory, or not the Armory, at the Y, mm-hmm. and during the Force Festival especially, mm-hmm. and of course I'd go to them, but then after I broke my hip, and I had to get rid of my car, so I'm stuck.
Mm-hmm. Were you ever an officer or anything in the guild, with the guild? Were you ever a...
No, I never was.
You knew Ollie, I'm sure.
Olive Goodwin. I'm sorry, I don't...
I'm sure you know Olive Goodwin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there any other... Do you know of any weavers around here who may not have been involved with the guild, who we may not know about?
Well, I don't know. Olive is the one, or Willette is the one. To,
yeah.
Because they kept up with it better than I did.
Mm-hmm. Well, your artworks are beautiful.
Gotta get drink.
One second.
And
you say you wove coverlets and tablecloths?
Yes.
And,
yes.
Uh-huh. And did you?
And I wove 8 coverlets all together.
Uh-huh.
And I wouldn't know how many hundreds. And then my grandmother gave me Hope Chest or... A chest that my aunt gave it to me, it was my grandmother's, and it was full of linen thread that was already homegrown. She got it as her share when they broke up her home, and it was in that chest. And so my Aunt Julia said, well, I'm going to bring the chest. We moved to Virginia, and she said, I'm going to bring all this chest down, but I'll clean it out first. And I said, if you clean it out, I don't want it. And I remember when my cousin and I were just only 3 months apart, and we'd go up an attic and play, and we'd get in that chest, and we'd put these hanks of yarn over like hair, you know, had big time. And so I knew it was in there. And so when Aunt Julia said that they were going to make an apartment out of the third floor, and... she had to get rid of some. And I said, well, I want the chest, but I want everything's in it. So there were 5 birth certificates, old birth certificates. And I sold them to a man over in Virginia for $100 a piece. I never got any money but the stuff that they gave away. And there was a beautiful little candlesticks, brass. And there were 9 quilts. Huh. Now, their quilts, they just made them for the top of the bed, you know.
Yeah.
So I took some of them and added the border around. And so that's how I... And then I took this thread and I made it into linen towels. Wow. And I used red and blue and white in the borders. And I took them up to Winchester.